Read some scripture taken from the minor prophet Micah. Micah is notoriously known for prophesying about the birthplace of Christ. He foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. There's another popular statement that's made by the prophet Micah. You'll find in the sixth chapter. Most of us may be familiar with this passage. It's a very prominent passage. Much like we learned last week that Elihu had the ability to understand and understand the providence of God and the system of God and how God works. We might call it the gospel according to Elihu last week. We also find Micah had an understanding, a comprehension of things, and the people had forgotten how to approach God. Actually, Israel was in a mess. There was all kinds of social injustices that were occurring. They were backward, backslidden, away from God. They were distant from God. They lost their relationship with God and their fellowship with God. And God constantly would send preacher after preacher and prophet after prophet to try to turn them back to God. God always desires reconciliation. For people to be restored to the fellowship of God. What a blessing that is. Not only to know that, but to enjoy that, to experience that. And Micah is setting forth some things in the early part of this chapter. And he had talked about how that a lot of people might even know how to be restored to fellowship with God. They may have the right kind of information, but they don't use it. They don't respond to it. They rebel against it. You know, a lot of times we know how to do things right, but for some reason or another, we rebel against the right way of doing it. And that was kind of the situation with the people of Israel. He compared them to Balaam and the situation with Balak and the prophet there in verse 5. You know, Balaam knew the right things, but wasn't always prone to do the right things. And Israel was much like that. And so as he began in verse 6 of the sixth chapter of Micah, we read out of God's holy word according to this. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now, I want us to notice just a few things before I read verse 8. Notice there in verse 7 what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the transgressions that have been committed or the iniquities of sin, and we're also dealing with the sins of the soul. He's saying, how can I come to the Lord with respect to this conviction or these concerns over my sin? So we're talking about coming to the Lord, trying to restore relationship or have reconciliation with God. And notice there in that passage that it's clearly over sin. The transgressions, notice in verse 7, he actually goes to such extremes as giving the firstborn for my transgression. We'll get to that in just a moment. The fruit of my body for the sins of my soul. So we're dealing with the sin issue that separates us from God. Actually, sin is always the issue that separates us from God. It's a sin issue. That's our problem. And so Micah is saying, okay, here's somebody that knows, they're apparently conscious of the fact that it's sin that separates them from God. Israel knew it was their transgression. They knew that it was the sins of their soul that was keeping them separated from God. And actually the condemnation and the judgment that was being prophesied of upon them was the result of sin. Listen, judgment comes upon our sins. Those of us that transgress God's law, we are transgressors of God's law. And everybody who's under the transgression of God's law, they're under condemnation. Amen. So notice, first of all, there is a consciousness. Secondly, I want you to notice there's a conviction. There's a conviction over the sin. But most people, when they are conscious of their sins and they're convicted of their sins, they naturally know they need to come to the Lord. Listen, this, and look in verse 6. He says, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Listen, if you want to get your sin issue straightened out, you're going to have to come to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, the contemporary of Micah, he said, incline your ear and come unto me. God was saying, hear the words, hear the gospel, hear the truth, and come unto me. You have to come unto the Lord. Amen. In order to be saved, in order to be delivered from sin, you must go directly to the Lord. You can't go through a preacher. You can't go through church membership. We're going to notice that these people were trying to use, they were trying to bargain with God. They were trying to give hundreds of rams. They want to give things, bargain with the Lord, or give things unto the Lord, even offering their own body, their own children, to try to appease God. You know, most men today, it seems like when they are under conviction, When they really are convicted of their sins and they're trying to bargain with God, they're trying to resolve this sin issue, they'll give everything to God but their sins. They won't give up their sins. And so Micah was saying here, in order for you to come to the Lord, you're going to have to give something up. And we're going to notice that in just a few moments. It's important for people to come to the Lord. It's important for people to be given the opportunity in our church services to come to the Lord. In the book of Hebrews, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come unto the Lord must first believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There in that passage, it talks about people acknowledging that there is a God and people coming to the Lord. Listen, you need to come to the Lord. You need to come directly to the Lord in order to deal with the sin issue. Amen. You will never be reconciled unto God unless you come to the Lord. Amen. I believe in people repenting. I believe in people praying. I believe in people coming. Notice in that verse 6, it also not only talks about coming, but also bowing before the Lord. Listen, you need to reverence the Lord. He is the High One. Amen. He is the Holy One that inhabiteth all of eternity, and He will dwell with those that are of a contrite heart and a broken spirit. You need to come broken before the Lord. You need to become reverent before the Lord. You need to pray. I believe in prayer. I believe if sinners get saved, they must pray. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, you don't jump through hoops. You don't just join the church. You don't just get baptized. You must pray. You must repent. You must turn from your sins. You must call on the Lord. There's not only a coming to the Lord, a bowing or praying before the Lord, but there's also a calling of the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's a coming. There's a calling. I still contend that those that come to the Lord will in no wise cast out. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 35, He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Listen, you want to be satisfied? You want to have your sin issues dealt with? You're going to have to come to Jesus. There are people in the sanctuary this morning, and you've never come to the Lord. You've never come to the Lord for salvation. You've never come to the Lord for cleansing. I believe that people need to be cleansed from their sins. Come now, can we reason together? Isaiah said in the first chapter, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they can be as wool. I believe people need to come to the Lord. They need to repent of their sins. They need to pray. And they need to get cleansing from the Lord. Amen? Yes. Yes, cleansing from the Lord. I believe sin must be blotted out. The Bible teaches us that the sin issue must be dealt with. Must be dealt with. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, the Bible there talks about that the ear of the Lord is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor is arm short that it cannot say. Verse 2, but your sins have separated you between you and your God, and it's your iniquities and your trespasses that has caused Him to turn His face from you where He will not hear. That was their problem here. They wanted to offer God all these things. There's a lot of people. They don't mind going to church. They don't mind sitting on a pew. They don't mind offering an hour a week. Or they don't mind doing a few good deeds. But Jesus Christ came to pay the sin debt. And He wants you to turn from sin. He wants you to surrender to Him in humility and come before Him, acknowledging Him as Savior and Lord. Listen, if you never acknowledge the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, you'll never be saved. Never be saved. So Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. When you come to me, your soul will be satisfied. Notice in this passage, they said, well, we'll bring 1,000 bullocks. We'll bring 1,000 sacrifices. Surely this will please the Lord. Actually, in the Old Testament, under the Levitical law, their requirements were just one, was just one sacrifice for sin. They said, what if we bring 10,000 rivers of oil? Now we're talking about the meal offering, the oil and the sacrifices under the Old Testament. You know what the problem was with Israel? They started confusing the outward with the inward.
Amen.
See, God wants your heart right.
Right. Amen.
It's a heart issue.
Amen.
There's transgressions and sins that have been committed. And we want to do something to bargain with God. Listen, we're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done. Amen? We're saved wholly and completely of grace. I believe in these passages, Micah is conveying a work of grace. He's conveying to us a gospel of grace. Actually, I believe he's conveying the new covenant teaching of the work of grace upon the believer. And I'll show you that in just a moment. Listen, when we come to the Lord, we do come with some degree of homage. We come before the Lord reverent. We come before the Lord humble because the Lord is the high one. In this passage, he is referred to as the high one, the lofty one. He says, we come before the Lord. At least they've got that right. Got to come before the Lord. They bow themselves before the high God. And he says, shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves for a year old? Will I come before the Lord and this please him with 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn? Listen, they went above and beyond. Above and beyond, saying, well, and this is some kind of idolatrous, paganistic philosophy of giving your firstborn as a sacrifice to appease for sin. Listen, there was a firstborn given. And that was Jesus Christ. He alone can cover your sin debt. He alone can atone for your sin. He alone can appease the transgression. He alone is the sacrifice for mankind. He is the firstborn of creation. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, but they were wanting to give something. They want to give it something to this high one, the one that created them, the sustainer of life. Listen, if you need to acknowledge that God is great, God is great. He is not only the giver of life, he is the sustainer of life. Paul said that in him we live and move and have our being. You're here today because God has allowed it. You're alive today because God has given you breath and he has given you life. God is not only the sustainer, he is the healer and the helper of mankind. It rains upon the just and the unjust. The long-suffering of God is being extended to you. The goodness of God is being extended to you that you might repent. But man wants to resist repentance. Everybody wants to give something to God. Oh, people today, they want to give God their hearts. God don't want your wet, wretched heart. You know what's your wretched heart? Oh God, that people want to give themselves. They want to give millions of dollars or they want to give this and that. Listen, the gift that was given at Calvary is the only gift that's acceptable. People want to give something. They want to make some kind of sacrifice of themselves unto the Lord in order to have their sin debt appeased. But listen, your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Your works will not do. There's only one work that was done that would bring salvation, and that's the work that was done at Calvary. Yes, it's wholly and exclusively on the merits of the cross that we are saved. People get this idea they need to give something. I'll tell you what they need to do. They need to repent. They need to repent. See, people need to turn from their sins. The only thing that answers the demands of God's divine justice is what was done at Calvary. You can bring 1,000 rams. You can bring 10,000 rivers of oil. And it will not satisfy God's broken law. No. All those sacrifices of the Old Testament, you know, all they did is they rolled sin back. They just let us out on bail until the judgment where Jesus paid the price and entered into judgment for us. I don't know if you realize or not, but I've been working on a message called 3 Hours of Eternity. Those 3 hours of darkness on the cross are the equivalence of eternal damnation. I don't know how to explain that, but there's something behind the scene that we just don't see in the spiritual realm that Jesus went through and that can never be explained. But it is the equivalency of us spending eternity in hell, Him on that cross for 3 hours during the time of darkness. God's divine justice has to be satisfied. And we understand that. We know that God is offended. We know that we have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know you're a sinner. You know you need forgiveness. You know you're separated from God. You know you're in the gall of iniquity. You know these things. You know it. You know it. You know you're lost and undone. You know that God is not your God. You know that He's not your Father. You know that Jesus is not your Savior. You know that the blood has never been applied to your heart. You know those things in your heart. And you need that divine justice appeased. You know, and people are offering everything, even things that are forbidden, expecting only what? God can do for them in an eternal way through some kind of human means. Listen, you need eternal salvation. You need divine deliverance. You need the divine work of grace upon your heart. Human accomplishment and human achievement will not equal divine deliverance. Are you with me? Trying to use carnal things to satisfy spiritual things. It won't work. It just won't work. Micah is telling these people, and this is just human nature, isn't it? Avoiding repentance. Avoiding repentance. Let's read the verse 8. So there's a coming. There's a bowing. But there's a praying and an offering of the wrong things. I believe there are people that have tried to seek the Lord, and you need to seek the Lord. Amen. You need to seek the Lord while He may be found. You need to call upon Him while He's near. But there's a lot of people, when they start seeking the Lord, they try to bargain with the Lord. They try to offer the Lord, their goodness. Or they try to offer the Lord, something that they have. Something of their own flesh. Something of their mind. Something that they may be able to give to the Lord. But listen, you cannot give something unto the Lord to satisfy the sin debt. You have nothing to offer. Amen. Nothing to offer. You have to come as a beggar. Amen? Nothing to offer. Just begging the Lord, seeking the Lord, calling upon the Lord. You have to come as a beggar before the Lord with nothing to offer. Notice verse 8. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. See, I don't believe God has kept it from us. I don't believe it's some huge mystery. I believe God has informed the human race on how to get right with Him. He started the very Garden of Eden, didn't He? With blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no way that your transgressions and your sins can be canceled without the shedding of blood. He says, you know, oh man, I think this includes Jew and Gentile. I think the whole human race knows. God has made it clear what He has required of us. What doth the Lord require of you? Now let's notice there are three things that are listed here. You can look at this from a fleshly, carnal way, or you can look at this from a spiritual standpoint. I take it from a spiritual standpoint. He says, but to do justly, the word justly here is the same kind of justly used in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 24. It says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So he's talking about acts of righteousness. Acts of righteousness. You know what the Lord requires? He requires acts of righteousness. We've got a problem, don't we? How can you bring a clean thing of an unclean thing? We have a problem. We're not prone to do good. We're prone to do evil. We're not prone to do righteous, but unrighteous. We're not doing holy things, but wicked things. We commit sin. That is within our nature. So he's saying you've got to commit acts of righteousness. Righteousness. Notice what else? And to love mercy. Okay? Love divine things of God. Love mercy. The love religious things. Love spiritual things. Love God's law, God's holy word. Love holy things, righteous things, divine things, spiritual things. Love mercy. Love those things. I mean, just have a passion for those spiritual, divine, religious things. Notice the third thing. Walk humbly with thy God. All right? So we're talking about walking with God, like Enoch walked with God, like Abraham walked with God, like Isaac and Jacob walked with God. We're talking about walking humbly with God. We're talking about walking in submission to His will. We're talking about being surrendered to His law, letting Him be the master and us the slave. We're talking about walking with God, having God with us, God in our hearts and God in our lives. Amen. All right, let's look back at these three things. Righteousness. We're talking about righteous acts. You cannot commit a righteous act until you had the righteousness of Christ applied to you. You look in the Old Testament, the Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians that even Abraham in Galatians 3 and 6, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him righteous, for righteousness. You go on and read where that righteousness was imputed unto him by faith. The Bible says that over and over again. The righteousness that we have, the righteousness that the patriarchs of old had, was a righteousness that resulted from faith. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen? Our sins are appeased and covered when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness is imputed to us. I believe that the things that are being discussed in righteousness, in mercy, in things with respect to walking humbly with God are things that only result, listen to me, from a changed heart. Amen. Your heart's got to be changed. Amen. This is what the Lord requires. Your heart has to be changed. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he talks about what the new covenant standard was for the people of Israel that was prophesied of in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. He talked about that in the 10th chapter of Hebrews where he's talking about the issues of the new covenant. The issues of the new covenant as it was prophesied of. And he quoted, as he quoted from Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other places, was that he would give us a new heart. A new heart. Where he'd write his laws in our heart. Listen, we need a heart transplant. Now I believe that faith is an operation of the heart. Amen. These passages tell us, people want to offer themselves, I'll tell you what you need. You need a change to take place inside of you. You need a transformation. You need a regeneration in order to be reconciled with God. All right. People won't naturally love the things of God. Amen. They just won't. You can raise your children up in church and you can try to get them to appreciate Sunday school. You try to get them to appreciate God's holy word. Try to get them to appreciate the love that we have one for another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But until they get saved, they'll never appreciate it. Amen. Many of them will never stick in church if they don't get saved. They won't keep coming to church until they have a heart change, until they're rearranged to where they love God and they love mercy and they love their brother because the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts. Amen? Micah is telling us most people want to come to God and get the sin issue fixed by offering works. There's no works of righteousness that you can do, but it's according to His grace that He saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So Micah says, if we want righteousness and mercy, loving God, you know why a lot of people don't love church? It's not that we did something wrong, making it, we didn't do anything wrong. You know, a lot of people, they're worried about people leaving, you know, certain denominations. The Southern Baptist Convention is considering changing their names because they're losing people and people are leaving. I'll tell you why people are leaving. We don't need to change anything. The reason they're leaving is because they're lost. They don't have a heart to love God, to love mercy, to do acts of righteousness, to do good works according to His grace. God is not walking with them. And they're not humbly walking with God. That's the problem. Micah gives a solution for that day. Almost 790 B.C. I believe it's the solution for our day. That people that really want to have their sin debt canceled, if they really want to have a change, if they really want to deal with the transgressions of their sins, it has to be an inward change. They have to become partaker of the divine nature. And that's what he's talking about. You know how to get this made right. You've got to have acts of righteousness. You've got to have a love for mercy. You've got to have a genuine, humble walk with God. I'm telling you, the only way that can happen is for you to get saved. It can happen no other way. I know when I got saved, I mean, I thought I loved God, but not like I loved God when I got saved. Yeah. I mean, when I got saved, you know what I'm talking about? When I turned from sin and I trusted Jesus with all of my heart, then I began to love God. I love God's ways. Listen, we don't need to be changing the kingdom of Jesus Christ to appease men. We need to keep it just the way it is, and it needs to rearrange others. I often want to put on the church sign, you come as you are, but you leave changed. Right? Amen? You come any way you want to, but we expect the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God to rearrange your life. To where you'll start committing acts of righteousness, where you'll have a devotion and a commitment and a love for the divine things of God. Listen, we can't make that happen in people. It has to happen in people because of a rearrangement inside of them. They've got to have an internal desire to love God. Amen? I tell you, you can't teach somebody to love the Lord. Paul said when he was writing to the people of Thessalonica, he says, I can't even teach you how to love the Lord because you're taught it of the Lord. You're taught it of yourself to love the Lord. The Lord teaches you how to love Him. How does He teach us how to love Him? Because His Spirit comes in us, His love is in us, and then we love the Lord. Amen? You're taught it of God how to love the Lord. That's what Paul said. You're taught it of God how to love the Lord. Wow. Wow. So, you know, here it is. I mean, it's a typical standard. It's been this way from the very beginning. You got to have a change to where you'll have acts of righteousness, where you'll love the things of God, and you'll have a walk with the Lord. Are you walking with the Lord? Is the Lord with you today? Huh? Are you living for the Lord? Are you living for the Lord and walking with the Lord? If you really live with the Lord and walk for the Lord, it'll be a humble walk. Because He's the high and lofty one that inhabiteth all of eternity. We're going to stand and sing a verse of some song. Is there somebody here this morning, you've never been saved? Look, this message is an evangelistic message. Micah said, you know what he's requiring you to do? You've got to repent. And if you'll turn from sin and you'll trust in the Savior, who is the only one who can atone for sin, for trespasses and sins of the soul, if you have a believing application of the blood of Jesus, He'll rearrange your heart. Yeah. He'll give you a new heart. He'll take out the old heart, the stony heart of flesh that is unsensitive to the spiritual things of God, and He'll put a new heart in you. Listen, you need a new heart. New heart. Let's stand and sing. So somebody here has never had a new heart. Would you come? How is it with your soul? Are you saved today? Have you been born again in the Spirit of God? Micah says, you know. Everybody knows how it is. You got to have a change to where you can give yourselves to the Lord in a righteous way. Let's sing. So somebody here, you need to pray. You need to bow. You need to call on the Lord because of your transgressions and your sins, the sins of your own soul. Would you come? Would you call upon the Lord with all of your heart? He said, I'm the bread of life. If you'll come to me, you will never hunger. If you'll drink of me, you'll never thirst. He says, if you'll come, I won't cast you away. I won't turn you away. All that come to me, I've never turned anyone away. Listen, come to Jesus. You cannot do what's required of you without getting saved. You cannot do what God has required without your heart being changed. You will never please God without surrendering yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and true faith in Him. Would you come? Is there somebody today? Appreciate you listening to me today. All that the Lord requires comes through knowing Jesus, serving the Lord, experiencing His grace, having His blood applied. See, the only way we can ever please God is through His Son. It's the only way the Father can be pleased. I pray that you'll want to conform your life to His will. Is there something on your heart? I want to say to all, I love you. I love this church. I love everybody that comes here. God bless you. I hope you have a great day. If you're lost and in sin, I pray that you'll find a place somewhere. Call on the Lord. Amen. Nail this thing down. You don't have to get saved at this altar. You don't have to get saved in the church. You can get saved at home. Amen? Amen. But find a place somewhere. Erect an altar. Surrender yourself where you can give yourself to all that the Lord requires. You know what He's requiring of you. He's requiring you to get right with Him so you can live your life to His honor and to His glory.